All right, could you please draw a timeline explaining Daniel's life? Draw where? Is it by words or by drawing? Huh? On the whiteboard. There's nothing to draw. Yeah, he lived for 70 years. All the information that we have about Daniel is primarily in the book of Daniel. So Daniel chapter 1, Daniel entered in. Daniel chapter 2, he started his ministry. Daniel chapter 3. Yeah, I don't know his age. That's why Agar only 15. I can give you the year. The year was 605. I'm guessing. Because, you see, if he can serve for 70, alright, if he served for 70, then he will be 85 years old at the end of the Babylonian captivity. Right? I mean, if you say that he was 30 when he joined in, then he will be 110 now. Or 100 now. Correct? So you just add on. And then he continued to serve into the Persian Empire. How long he served in the Persian Empire, we do not know. What we know is that he did not go back to the promised land when he prayed for God to send them back in the time of Zerubbabel and Joshua the priest. You see, so there is no time, there's not much information concerning what happened to him. He entered as a young boy in chapter 1. He graduated in chapter 2. He disappeared in chapter 3. Because in chapter 3, we have the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, and Daniel was not around. Where did he go? What happened to him? We do not know. And in chapter 4, he appeared again. And in chapter 5, he appeared again. And chapter 5 is the end of the Babylonian Empire. And so there's this one big gap that we do not know what happened to Daniel. Just that he continued to minister. And based upon verse 21 of chapter 1, the Bible's commentary was that he remained convicted in not defiling himself to the very end. And that was seen when he became the first president in the Persian Empire in Daniel chapter 6. Because he was told cannot pray. But his regular practice was he could still pray. And because of that, they threw him into the lion's den. Now after that, we do not have much about him. The rest are all visions that he received during the first, second year reign of Darius. So he was there until the beginning part of the Persian Empire. After that, we don't know what happened. Okay? Okay, Master, that's it? One more. Okay, one more. Why is the study of psychology frowned upon or advised against? See, psychiatry is not the same as psychology, I was told. Psychiatry, you're going to get a basic doctor degree first, and then you specialize in the brain. That's psychiatry. So you will be a medical doctor that specializes in the brain. Just like you have cardiologists who will have a basic degree, and then they specialize in the heart. But psychology, you are not like a medical doctor. You study from the very beginning the brain. And I read a little bit about it. And if you go to the university, their basic assumption is that there is no God. What you study will be Sigmund Freud and all these atheist kind of a version of how to fix a person's brain, psychology. Now, of course, there is Christian psychology whereby certain seminaries may offer that kind of Christian counseling or psychology. Grace Theological Seminary used to have one. And that person who used to be very well known, I don't know whether he's still alive, is known as Larry Crabb. We read his book, Lawrence Crabb. We read his book. At the very beginning of his book, he says the Bible is very good. But then at the end of his book, he says the Bible is very good, but not enough. You must still have my theories. That's double talk. You see, so I am always very suspicious of psychologists. I know in our church, we have psychologists. All right, so I usually tread very gently in what I say, because I do not know that much about psychology. Okay, other than the little bit that I read and my exposure when I was in Grace Theological Seminary. But one thing I know, that if you go to a university outside to study psychology, your foundation and your assumptions will not be godly. It will be atheistic in nature. And the way that they solve it is usually trace all the way back to your childhood and upbringing and try to find fault with somebody else. Your mom or your dad to blame upon for what you are today. Whereas the Bible teaches us, repent of your sin. It doesn't matter who is the one that caused it. You just repent of your sin. And then you fix it from there. So that's why I'm usually very wary about psychology. Not that there are no good Christian psychologists. We need them. Because we have some members who specialize in psychology, especially child psychology. And we do have some children who are very hard to control. They have certain conditions. And so these are the church members that we turn to ask them to help. And we do not have that many to form a class of its own. But when these children are in our normal regular classes, they are very difficult. They cannot sit still. They disrupt the class. And sometimes we have to pull them out, or the teachers have to pull them out. And then these members of our church who are psychologists will be asked to help talk to them and help them. Okay? That's my position. Okay? Can, Master? Can? All right. Thank you.